WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. After President Biden speaks before the UN General Assembly this morning, he'll talk with other world leaders, but apparently not with the head of America's most important ally in the Middle East, says CBS's Weijia Zhang.
President Biden is also expected to have one-on-one meetings on the sidelines of this UN gathering, but as of right now, one with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is not on his schedule.
The UN Human Rights Office is trying to stop the conflict in the Middle East from worsening, says spokeswoman Ravinda Shamdasani.
The hostages need to be released, and this new front of the conflict, it needs to be stemmed.
It appears Marcellus Williams will be executed tonight in Missouri. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
This is a situation where either he didn't get due process or there's enough evidence to show that he might actually be innocent and therefore he should have a reprieve.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. New numbers show the job market has rebounded in Wisconsin since the pandemic, but it's not equal across the state. The nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum found while overall Wisconsin has more jobs now than it did in 2019, that doesn't mean every county is advancing in that category. 42 of Wisconsin's 72 counties have fewer jobs than they did before the pandemic. That means the state's strongest economic areas, like Dane and Milwaukee County, are carrying a lot of those jobs. And COVID-19 is on the rise here in Wisconsin. It's been spreading more and more since the end of June, according to the state's wastewater data monitoring program. But soon you'll be able to order more tests for free. The federal government is reviving its free tests by mail program. You'll be able to go to covidtest.gov and order 4 nasal swab test kits. All we know is that the program is set to go live in late September. Officials haven't given a specific date yet. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A 16-year-old has been arrested after being accused of stealing vehicles and a firearm in Lake Halley. According to the Lake Halley police, an officer attempted to stop a suspicious vehicle over the weekend before it sped up and hit another parked vehicle on 131st Street. The driver of the car also sideswiped the patrol car as it attempted to flee, and both cars went into a ditch. The teenager then refused to get out of the car and was removed by the officer and taken into custody. He was taken to a juvenile detention facility. Two new memorials honoring Chippewa Valley veterans were unveiled in Altoona over the weekend. On Sunday, the Chippewa Valley's Veteran Tribute Foundation officially unveiled the Global War on Terror Memorial and the Lemoyne K. Jevney Flag Retirement Station in River Prairie Park. During the ceremony, officials also shared that they're raising $150,000 for a World War II memorial. They hope the memorials will be an opportunity to educate the Chippewa Valley community on its history. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers prep for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is 2-1 heading into this Sunday's matchup with the Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said he's not sure if Jordan Love will be ready to go this week.
Well, we'll see. I mean, again, I think anybody that saw what happened to him, I mean, that's a legitimate injury. So, you know, he's working through it. He's doing everything in his power. He wants to be out there, and, you know, we want him out there.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed 2 games with an MCL sprain but could return this week. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Brewers have 6 games to play in the regular season. They are in Pittsburgh for 3 games starting tonight before a home series with the Mets. The playoffs start in October. And the kickoff times for the next 2 Wisconsin football games are set. They'll be at USC on Saturday with a 2:30 p.m. start. Then they come home to play Purdue a week from Saturday at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 71 this afternoon. The wind out of the east becoming north at 5 to 10. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 48. Tomorrow sunshine 76 on Thursday. Sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 48.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Milwaukee entertainment critic Matt Miller. And I welcome Deanna Donaldson, president of the Warren's Wisconsin Cranberry Festival. But you can just call her El Presidente.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is with my co-host Sandy Williams and Sandy Music Choice.
It's about peace, about peace. Elvis Costello. It's funny. All of his songs sound like the same song. Elvis Costello. But anyway, that one's about peace.
All right, let's go to, we've been talking about, you know, Donald Trump and really, I mean, you know, the allure of this man who is going to save everybody, Sandy. If you listen to him, he's going to do everything to make it right and better for everybody. Let him tell it.
Pretty soon he'll start selling pendants of his likeness, and we can wear them around our neck.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I called a while ago with a couple other things I was going to share, but just the topics of a couple of the calls, man, just I could be here a while, but I'll make it as quick as possible. The nonsense that continues to be spewed out by Donald Trump and his minions is just crazy, and it's just about every bit of it is a verifiable lie. They're lying to the people. Last night, Trump talked about that there was no terror attacks on American soil while he was president. There were 1,700 mass shootings, Donald Trump. 1,700 mass shootings under your tenure. So I don't know. I'd keep my big mouth shut about that if I were you. The other thing is very interesting is, you know, we're listening to the people gain in property taxes, and their property is getting, gaining, you know, people are making more money on their property, but they don't want to pay a little bit more. You know, your houses are gaining 3 to 4 times value, and you're complaining that you got to pay a couple hundred bucks more in property tax, or even $1,000. I don't know. You know, I don't think that's very fair. But finally, you know, Mike Lindell last night said that we must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children. that's about when I turn the TV off and I put some music on or something else, because that's, you know, when we continue to be exposed to this absurdity that has no place to be in America, and yet they spout this stuff, this hatred, this vile language, divide and conquer, at us at every opportunity. At some point, the American people just got to say, you know what, enough of this madness and chaos. We deserve better. We need to get to work and build our nation back to where it needs to be. And that is where we work together. We used to have the same common goals of supporting our Constitution. Now we have a party that they're talking about suspending the Constitution. And yet people are, oh, yeah, well, that's okay. You know, it's time that we all wake up and get out of the fog that we've been in and recognize that there is nobody on MAGA that is supporting the U.S. Constitution at this moment. Nobody. So that's my comment.
You know what, Mike, before you go, as a black man in America, to hear what Mike Lindell say publicly, is I was glad to hear him say it. You know why? Because it's been kind of covered up. Because it what's at the root of a lot of what Donald Trump and MAGA is talking about is that. And we can't have that conversation in America openly. Because at the root of the support for Donald Trump is that. And so we kind of dicker around the edges of that and not talk about it, because, to be quite frank with you, you know, knowing the history of the nation, for that to still be something that is openly talked about, that opens the wounds again. You know, Mike, it opens the wounds again. And so as people of color, we see this and we say, okay, we understand why these people are supporting Donald Trump, because he says all these bigoted and hateful and racist things about people predicated on their color. And very few people call him out for it, Mike. So, you know, I mean, I'm glad that you, you know, have the courage to talk about it.
Well, and then we heard Vance talk about deporting legal immigrants, much less illegal. You know, this whole campaign of hate is there's one plan, and that's divide and conquer. We know this. We just have to be strong enough and robust enough in our love and respect for one another that we just say, you know what, get out of here. No place for this in America. Go someplace else. Go to Eastern Europe, where people will allow you to be that way. This is not America. And I refuse to let these people get any traction.
Hey, Mike, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to anything?
Well, I mean, Donald Trump's tropes are unbelievable. During the debate, he talked about Kamala as being as a woman who put out, okay? And then he kind of thought about it, and he said, yeah, that's what I'm going to say. She put out. And he describes her as stupid. You know, all of this are really tropes. They're feminist, anti-feminist tropes. And they're anti-black feminist tropes, and he's not discussing men as to whether they put out. This is something you talk about if you're a misogynist. And I don't understand why people let Donald Trump get away with all this, but they do.
Yeah. Okay, Brendan from New Jersey. Brendan, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes back to the replacement theory that they began to build their foundation of hatred with. Where white people are supposed to be scared they're going to be replaced, and they should be in fear and hatred of brown people. I said this before, several shows ago that, you know, his rallies are full of nothing but angry white people who seem to be broke, but then they have hundreds of dollars to spend on large flags and all kinds of swag. I mean, I don't get it. But and then CJ's a property. He's an apartment renter. He's a landlord. Oh, good Lord. But anyway, I think that X's out a lot of the garbage he brings to the air to say that he owns apartments. I sure hope that with his loving heart and how much he loves America, he's helping out some seniors or some families that really need a place to live. But I highly doubt it. So take your hatred. Go move to Russia. Figure out how the guy that was in Canada that moved to Russia worked out. He's back in Canada already. Okay. It's not going to work. And what you're going to see is the young people are rising up. Yes, Taylor Swift is getting people to register to vote. And I think this whole thing of it being a close race is just feeding the corporate media on television so that you'll continue watching. I think there's a lot of people that are just fed up and tired, and they'll show it at the polls.
Brendan, thank you very much for the call. I hope that you are right. This is without question as tight as, you know, the race 4 years ago.
Well, the Electoral College almost assures that it's tight because, you know, the population centers, the big major metropolitan area population centers don't call the dance. The dance is called in much less populated areas. And you can see that from the swing states. You know, there are some populated states in the swing states, Pennsylvania being one. Florida used to be a swing state, populated. But most of the swing states are sort of the average size state. And that the reason they're swing states is they have enough electoral college votes to actually swing the election. But there are a whole bunch of electoral college votes that are highly predictable that are in less populated places.
Sonny, let me ask you, because the Republicans are throwing out raw meat. If you elect Kamala Harris, we're going towards World War III. And
well, Donald Trump would say, when you elect me, these wars will end tomorrow. There's no plan there, okay? And the people who are involved with those wars, I'm sure you could go to Netanyahu and find out that he's not going to end the war tomorrow if Donald Trump gets elected. And he's the one calling the shots with respect to the duration of the war, with respect to Hamas and Hezbollah. And Zelensky has already pointed out that Donald Trump doesn't hold a Trump card as far as he's concerned. So, you know, this is all just these bogus... leave it to me.
Yeah.
Leave it to me, Beaver. None of it is backed up, okay? And the notion that the Hamas attack on October 7th would never have happened if Donald Trump was president, it's never been explained exactly why Donald Trump sitting in the presidency could have possibly made a difference with respect to the Hezbollah attack. The Hamas attack. Would Hamas have thought that the response could have been more rigorous? Because the response to Hamas couldn't have been more rigorous than it was after October 7th. So there's no credibility with respect to those kind of statements other than just declarations of greatness.
You know, Sandy, yesterday, and we'll talk about this on the other side, Zelensky, yesterday, Trump doesn't know how to end the war. And Vance is too radical. This is Zelensky. Trump is telling the world he can end the war tomorrow. And the president of Ukraine is saying he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, the only way Trump could end it tomorrow would be for him to cause Zelensky to raise the white flag.
And You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
So you may have heard of Project 2025. A plan crafted by Trump and his MAGA loyalists to give Trump virtually unchecked political power and take Black America backwards. Here's how. Project 2025 strips away our voting rights protections and it eliminates the Department of Education. It would siphon public school funding to private schools, leaving our kids behind. Planning on going to college? Good luck paying for it. Project 2025 cuts funding for federal student loans. Trump's Project 2025 would also make states monitor women's pregnancies, and it bans abortion. Project 2025 would also gut Obamacare, ripping away health care from millions. Simply put, Trump's Project 2025 would be devastating to Black America. But we can stop it by voting for Kamala Harris for president, because we are not going back.
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for president.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You know, he was a prolific songwriter.
Yeah, he was.
And during this time.
Just about every subject I look for music about, I find Bob Marley. So
he really was just, in the short time that he lived, he just was an amazing, amazing entertainer. And always at the root of all of his songs, Sandy, was a message. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Woods. And Sandy?
It's about peace. Bob Marley wrote more often about ganja, but this was about the need for peace and less trouble in the world.
Well, you know, Sandy, you're talking about a need for peace. Zelensky, Trump doesn't know how to end the war, and Vance is too radical. As Trump continues to spot off that if he gets elected, he'll end the war the next day in Ukraine. And so Zelensky hasn't responded, you know, very much in the past, Sandy, to those bold predictions by Trump. But this time he did.
Well, he did, because obviously what Trump is suggesting is that he would require Ukraine to basically raise the white flag, fold their tent, stop resisting, yield to Russia's demands, war over, right? But that hasn't been the thrust of the West. It hasn't been the thrust of the NATO nations, the people who have been supporting Ukraine. Now, the amount of aid to Ukraine is undoubtedly finite, and objective observers believe that this last round of aid, I think it amounted to $60 billion, is probably the last straw in terms of, but that amount of money can endure for quite a while. I mean, it's many months of continued resistance by Ukraine. Ukraine is clearly conducting itself on the battlefield in a manner that's designed to enhance its negotiating posture. And there's no question that the war is going to end with a negotiation. But Donald Trump's notion of a negotiation that's a white flag has obviously been rejected by Zelensky. He obviously threw his lot in against Donald Trump by those comments and taking on Vance in that manner. So it's a clear message that Zelensky understands what Trump's saying, and Zelensky's saying, I'm not going to raise the white flag. Donald Trump isn't going to get me to do that.
So Donald Trump doesn't know how to stop the war in Ukraine. This is Zelensky talking.
Right.
Despite claiming he could end it on the first day as U.S. president, Volodymyr Zelensky has said in his harshest criticism yet of the Republican presidential nominee, the Ukrainian president also described Trump's running mate J.D. Vance as dangerous and too radical. What? I thought the Democrats were radical.
Well, I mean, from Zelensky's standpoint, Vance has been very, very clear that he's essentially pro the Russian position with respect to the war. And, you know, while I think that the beginning of the war was faulted, I think the nuances, the American government has failed to understand the nuances of the Eastern European politics. I don't think that Donald Trump's reasoning behind his position is sound. I think Donald Trump, rather, is a compromised man with respect to his attitude toward the Russians.
His message seems to be that Ukraine must make a sacrifice, Mr. Zelensky said of Mr. Vance in an interview with New Yorker magazine, before he flew to the U.S. to present his victory plan to the White House this week. But I believe that we have shielded America from total war. Mr. Vance has been criticized by supporters of Ukraine for pushing a peace deal that consolidates the Kremlin's control over captured territory. You know, Sandy, when you, let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Don, good morning. You say what?
Yeah, good morning, Earl and Sandy. Yeah, I got a quick comment. All that we're really being offered from the Vance and Trump ticket is get rid of the Constitution. Well, that doesn't make sense to me. That's where all your freedoms are and all your rights, your freedom of religion, your freedom of speech. I mean, our forefathers sacrificed their lives in World War II. You want to give this all up to a man that wears a silly red hat? That doesn't make sense. I wish the people would open their eyes, you know. And thank you for taking my call, gentlemen.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, Ukraine and what is taking place, it really is kind of like on the back page.
Well, I mean, Donald Trump's foreign policies are mystifying, okay? He's got a very much an isolationist approach when he faces the direction of Russia, and his approach towards China appears to be quite different. It appears to be much more aggressively hostile, particularly economically hostile, and of course hostilities with China is a far more expensive venture than hostilities with Russia. The Chinese economy's second largest in the world. The Russian economy is 12th. It's the size of Italy, okay? So the Russian economy is not a powerful entity. The Chinese are. And I think we need to give careful thought to our policies abroad on both sides, but I think they need to be well-reasoned. And my hope is that Kamala will pause and will develop a reasoned policy. I think the policies need to reflect the priorities of the American people, and including our defense budget.
You know, my fear, Sandy, with Donald Trump is always the fact that he himself feels that unilaterally he knows what's best for everything and everybody, and he'll make the decision.
Well, I think when you're the ultimate narcissist, you think your ideas are good ideas because they're your ideas, okay? And that is the way he behaves. If it's his idea, it's a great one.
All right, 844-967-2789. On the other side, Sandy, got to ask you about what's happening in the Middle East with Israel and Lebanon and on and on and on. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. While political parties vie for the votes of young people, not as many of them are engaged in the process. Only about half the number of young people in Wisconsin say they're paying attention to politics as compared to other age groups. Matthew Lehner, chair of the College Democrats of Wisconsin, says that's because young people have a lot on their plate already.
You know, young people are facing climate change and are wondering whether they are going to be able to have kids one day. Young people today are part of the school shooting generation. Young people are worried about, you know, how they're going to pay for things given the corporate-driven inflation and the wage stagnation that exists.
Hilario De Leon, chair of the Milwaukee County Republican Party.
Gas prices are still high, grocery prices are up, rent is high, so it's hard for them to go and live on their own. Energy costs are through the roof.
Tufts did a study, and it showed of young people in any state, the ones in Wisconsin have the second most power in the election. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Republican surrogates for former President Donald Trump visited the Eau Claire County Republican Party office on Monday to rally supporters. Congressman Troy Nels from Texas was joined by speakers from the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Moms for Liberty, and the Wisconsin Faith and Freedom Coalition. Their speeches focused on illegal immigration, border security, schools, and taking jabs at the news media. Congressman Nels also referenced unsubstantiated claims that the 2020 election was stolen from former President Trump. A public health alert has been issued by the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection for bratwursts made in Durand. According to a press release from the DATCP, the wild rice and cheddar cheese bratwursts and the wild rice and cranberry bratwursts from Maloney's Bologna contained wheat, a food allergen not listed on the product's labels. The affected bratwursts were sold at the company's retail store on or before September 17th. Officials say there have not yet been any reports of illnesses. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Just because you've been part of a hit show for 10 years doesn't mean your spinoff is a slam dunk. Just ask Eric Stone Street, who played Cam on Modern Family. A one-off called Mitch and Cam, which would have featured Stone Street and co-star Jesse Tyler Ferguson, who was Cam's partner Mitchell Pritchard on Modern Family, was in development but ended up not getting the green light. What was his reaction when he heard the network passed? He said his feelings were hurt. Actors are people, too. Actress Demi Moore says she biked 60 miles a day after becoming a mom for the second time. After giving birth in 1991 to her daughter, Scout, Moore said she would bike 30 miles to the set of Indecent Proposal from Malibu and 30 miles home. I guess any excuse to get away from a crying baby. The actress admitted she felt pressure to drop weight, but also that at the time it was important to her to get back in shape as well, and there was no way she was giving up the lunch buffet at Golden Corral. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 71 this afternoon. The wind out of the east becoming north at 5 to 10. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 48. Tomorrow sunshine 76 on Thursday. Sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 53.
The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that just a bit outside the movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Want to give a shout out to Scott from Shorewood, who came by after the show yesterday and dropped off the new Matt Nair on air mascot. He has a friend who has a 3D printer, and they made Elon Musk as Jabba the Hutt. So Elon the Hutt.
You can tell that he grew up the prince of an apartheid king. It's amazing.
I'm sure this won't get us banned from Twitter.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. I will start the show and then pass the hosting baton to my friend and ongoing contributor, Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. It will be spectacular. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Now I've been happy lately.
thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder. Ride on the peace train.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. It means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And so, Sandy, the music.
Well, Friday I had music calling for rain. We got rain. Today it's all about peace. I am hoping for the same outcome, but I don't have the same expectation.
Who is this?
The man named Cat Stevens. Used to be Cat Stevens. Yeah. Yosef Islam, I think, is his adopted.
Yeah. All right. So Sandy, you're talking about peace. This escalation between Israel and Lebanon and the strikes, over 800 targets that Israel struck on yesterday, killing 500 or more. And clearly an escalation. Sandy, I listened to the head person in Iran.
The mullah.
And
Khomeini.
Yeah, Khomeini. And he said, we are being forced into a corner to get involved in something we really don't want to get involved in. You know, Sandy, we're not talking about World War III, but something, this has escalated to the point that there is war now.
Well, you know, I fear, the Trump pulling out of the deal with Iran, the Iran treaty, was a destabilizing move. It also removed a bunch of, we reimposed a bunch of sanctions. Well, we sort of sanctioned them to the hilt. We're left without any new sanctions to impose. We would have had far more leverage, and we probably were destabilizing at the time when we pulled out. But secondly, Netanyahu is calling the shots, and Netanyahu's approach apparently is to clean up every problem that he seems to have that relates to terrorism or potential terrorism militaristically and do it now. The problems that he has have to some extent related back to a period when they militaristically tried to solve the problem before. In 1982, Israel invaded and occupied southern Lebanon. It was that occupation which is attributed the beginning of Hezbollah. Iran began to support the dissidents who were fighting the Israeli occupation of southern Lebanon, and that led to the creation of Hezbollah and the sourcing of help from Iran to Hezbollah, the Shia support that was being provided to the Shia dissidents. Similarly, the problem in Hamas can be tracked back to the sort of the situation that was created in bottling up the Palestinians as they have in Gaza. And now the notion that they can solve them militaristically and somehow then what? Occupy Gaza? The end game for Gaza is not yet determined. But the fear I have is that military solutions to cultural problems like exist in Lebanon and in Gaza don't get solved by military in the long run, okay? The long run impact of those military occupations and military expeditions is the creation of resistance. So I'm fearful about this in the long run. The short run, maybe they can bring it into sort of a more quiescent kind of a condition in in southern Lebanon that's calmer for the while. But just as ISIS sits and waits, these wars in the Mideast are fought in decades. They aren't fought in days, months, or years. And so when you look at these from a decade perspective, I just fear that Israel's off on the wrong in the wrong direction. And so I'm a bit fearful about this situation with respect to with Hezbollah, because Hezbollah is saying, look, solve the Gaza problem and you've solved our problem. So this all seems to relate back to that.
You know, Sandy, clearly there's their finger pointing going on towards President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, that they couldn't get that settled between Israel and the Palestinians. And if they had just gotten that fixed, we wouldn't be here.
Well,
what are your thoughts on that?
Jared Kushner couldn't get it fixed, the expert that he was. He was the emissary that Donald Trump put in charge of getting the problem solved. It didn't get solved. It's a very difficult problem, and the problem requires a careful treading of the line between strong support for Israel and exerting influence over Israel. Clearly, that's part of the deal here, because people in Israel, there's a substantial majority of people there who think that a Palestinian state is a necessary outcome, but we don't seem to be getting there. And the policies that get implemented don't seem to get there. I think that Blinken's policies have come closer to walking that fine line, to the point where, as a tribute to him, I think they end up getting kind of attacked from both sides, which tells me that they're trying to work the middle. And that's probably where they need to be.
So let me ask you, Sandy, before we go to the phone lines. This clearly is a situation where Netanyahu doesn't have the masses of the Israeli people behind him.
Well, I mean, I think there's, I do think that that there is a view that is kind of strongly held that the military needs to move on Hamas and get Hamas squelched. Okay, and the people seem to be abiding by that. There are people who don't like Netanyahu. I think there are people who question whether they've approached the hostage situation in a manner that's adequate. And there's sort of a movement within Israel that's pro-hostage and anti-Netanyahu in that respect. But it's a thorny issue. And until Israel gets a vision for what the long-term solution is, my fear is that they haven't got the strategic plan in mind. They don't have the vision. They haven't decided what the future looks like if they get their way. And to me, that's the issue. That's the problem.
But getting their way means that there's another side that doesn't get their way. And so that's never going to be something. Listen, how long has this been going on? Let's stop acting like this just, came into existence.
Well, no, it's festered off and on since 1948. And unfortunately, however, the capacity now, there were those who say that Yasser Arafat turned down the deal when they were offered a state. Okay, maybe that happened, and maybe he did, but that doesn't mean that forever this problem can't be solved, because Yasser Arafat chose to not solve it at a time when it was being offered to him. I think it was during the Clinton administration, and I'm not sure what the details of that offer were exactly, but my problem is that there needs to be a long-term vision. There needs to be an end game that is one that is sustainable, okay? And my concern is that so far that hasn't been talked about. What's been talked about is the need to get rid of Hamas completely as a force, as a danger, as an entity, and then we'll start thinking about what the long-term vision is. And the vision, when it gets sketched out, includes only minor some collateral details, like the Israelis want to have troops on the Egyptian border no matter what happens. Okay, well, what is that in the context?
Which is a non-starter for the other side.
Well, apparently, but in the context of what? I mean, it might be a non-starter, or it might not be a non-starter in the context of some other clarified solution. But so far, it comes out in dribs and drabs, like, okay, here's a condition. We have to have troops on the Egyptian border, but that's not in the context of what the rest of the answer is.
All right, let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to point out the Hezbollah, since October 7th, they've launched over 8,000 rockets continually to Israel on a daily basis. So that's for starters. Number two, Hezbollah is tied in with Iran. It's a proxy war. Iran, and I disagree with your point, Sandy, Iran had sanctions against them, yes. And the current administration, the Biden-Harris administration, lifted those sanctions. They allowed the money to flow to Iran. And how do we know this? Well, because they got access to billions of dollars of money. And it was, I guess, in the idea of the current administration, that that would be a way to appease, because that was Iranian money that was locked up in the U.S. So they thought, okay, if we do this, things will get a little better. The exact opposite has turned out to be true. First of all, when Trump pulled out of the nuclear agreement, keep in mind, the European nations were not allowed to look at their nuclear facilities. All those officials, inspectors, and what have you, Iran said, no, you're not coming in. So Iran has been playing this game of where they're playing the victim. And keep in mind, and I just remember this spring, what did Iran do? They said, well, they're backed in the corner. So they launched all those missiles to Israel. And thank goodness they have, you know, Israel has a, you know, the Iron Dome there. They intercepted almost all those missiles. It would have wiped Israel off the map if they didn't have it. So I think, you know, there's this misnomer that a two-state solution is going to solve it.
Hey, David, let me ask you. You talked about the fact that Iran fired all those missiles into Israel. It was in retaliation for Israel, you know, assassinating, you know, somebody that they earmarked in Iran and fired missiles.
The 8,000 has been since October 7th, and it's a combination of artillery and missiles.
So that was in response to Israel sending weapons, rockets into Iran to kill, you know, leaders, right?
They targeted one individual in Iran that is kind of like the mastermind of trying to do what they're doing, which is
they fired on that nation.
Well,
right?
Let me jump to a different issue, which is my main issue, which is what is the long range vision for a solution? That's the problem that the Israeli government, under Netanyahu at least, aren't speaking about what the vision is for the long-term solution. If they succeed in quelling Hezbollah, and if they succeed in demolishing the capacity of Hamas, then what?
Then they got to keep working on the Abraham Accords, which was started under Trump, and there was a lot of
David, hang on. 844-967-2789 is the number. Friday. That means Friday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Peace train sounding louder. Ride on the peace train. Come on.
Yes, it's the peace. 93.5 The Tap.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Legendary Dionne Warwick. Thank you very much. You know, Sandy, yeah, really great choices. 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. Sandy, the music.
Peace. We need peace. We're talking about the subject right now that sort of instigated my decision to look for, we've had war in the world, and America's been experiencing war almost nonstop for a very long time, and somehow we've got to find our way out of it.
All right, David, you were saying before we went to break, you were saying that, you know, this is, you know, the negotiations have to come after the force. And you know, at some point in time, the force has to come to an end.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, that's how World War II ended, which was it had to be ended by force, and millions of people were killed in the process. But that ultimately is what led Germany and Japan to call it off.
Okay, so
after millions of people.
I know, Dave. So who's going to call it off?
So as soon as they give the hostages back, the Hamas, I think there would be a peace agreement. But because they're not doing that, and because they continually, and Iran keeps helping Hezbollah, they're actually helping Russia right now, I should point that out, with the war in Ukraine.
Okay, but
let's
David,
not forget about that.
But David, let me tell you why, when I hear people say that, you know, America has allies. You know, we've certainly, you know, have our allies. Why is it almost like there's something wrong with other nations having allies?
Well, and let me just say that to some extent, the United States has forced these people to be bedfellows, right? I mean, by putting a broad scale Western sanctions on Iran, they have to turn and resort to whomever they can resort to, and Russia is their resort. Same with China. So we've, You know, we've done the very opposite of what Henry Kissinger wanted to do with the recognition of China, which was to put a dividing line between Russia and China and to avoid them becoming a bloc that did things on a joint basis. And now we've pushed those two countries together, and we've also pushed Iran together with and the three of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, you know, there's no question that there needs to be a path towards stability in the Mideast. And part of that is going to have to involve Iran. Iran is probably the biggest economy in the Mideast, one of the biggest economies. And so, my concern remains this lack of a vision for the long term. You mentioned the Abraham Accords. The Abraham Accords really only look towards having a recognition of Israel by a bunch of Arabic countries, but it still doesn't resolve the situation between Palestine and Israel. It simply neutralizes the extent to which the rest of the Arabic countries would be at odds with Israel.
So I guess my question to you, Sandy, is do you think the Abraham Accords was not beneficial whatsoever?
No, I didn't. I didn't say that. No, of course I didn't say that. I mean, I think, the Abraham Accords, actually the process is continuing now, and Blinken has worked on the very same kinds of things, and the same kinds of things were being worked on before Kushner was working on it on behalf of Trump. I mean, everyone sees that there's a need for a vision for the Mideast, which includes a recognition by the Arabic countries of Israel, as well as a recognition that includes a détente. But that's going to be hard to achieve without having the vision with respect to Palestine. And that's the very reason that the Abraham Accords have failed so far, is that there has not been expressed a vision for what happens to Palestine.
Well, I disagree with you. I think what ended up happening was that the current administration, the Biden-Harris administration, went back to the old ways of trying to do this whole two-state solution, which they've been trying for decades. And I'm talking about like George Bush, Clinton, Obama, what have you. And
I think Saudi Arabia and a bunch of the countries that would be a part of the Abraham Accords have talked about the very same thing. So, you know, I think it's not sensible to believe that the Abraham Accords will occur in the context of a vacuum of policy associated with the treatment of Palestine.
Well, you can't say that there can't ever be a two-state solution. The Palestinians are there. What do you do with them?
So,
do you cast them aside?
Unfortunately, if you look at the doctrine with Hamas, they do not want Israel to exist.
Hey, David. So based on what you are saying, then they don't want Israel to exist. It means that there'll never be a two-state solution. So Palestine, the Palestinians are cast to, you know, to the wind, and that somehow is going to be acceptable. That's not going to be acceptable.
Well, so the Palestinians have to make a decision as to whether they want to keep Hamas as leadership, because that current government that's in place has no interest in peace.
All right, David, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, thank you as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. Really appreciate you guys taking the time out. Up next, Jane Madnair, Greg Bach, Madnair on Air. Thank you, Calvin. See you guys on tomorrow. Oh, by the way, I'll be joined at 8 o'clock by the chief of police for the city of Milwaukee, Jeffrey Norman, at 8 o'clock.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, a Western Wisconsin school district referendum includes a novel approach to helping their hometown create more childcare opportunities.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Here's to celebrating everyone's favorite time of year in Wisconsin with all our arty, fun-loving, foodie, feasting fall events. There's Kohler Food and Wine, Aaron's Art on Wheels at Road America, Red Cliff Cultural Days,
Holy Hill Art and Craft Fair, and the Fests. Wausau's Ginseng Fest, Warren's Cranberry Fest, Bayfield Apple Fest, Milwaukee Film Fest. Whew, there's a whole lot of fall fun to be had in Wisconsin. Find more events at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.